Seahawks and 49ers, Colts, Cardinals, and Rams. You best better pay attention, 'cause it's gonna be wham bam, it's a panic attack. That's a natural fact. You can say it's just a game, but you can't deny the pain. And it's a panic attack. A panic attack. Oh, a panic attack. Talking about a panic attack. Hey, a panic attack. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. That song you heard was called Pack Attack by Elroy and the Diehards off the new album Packer Party. And right now, to kick off the show, we have J.R. Hansen of Studio 77 Productions, who has produced the recently released album Packer Party by Elroy and the Diehards. J.R., how you doing this morning?
I'm all right. How are you, Brian?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk about this album a little bit, but I suppose before we get into talking about Packer Party, let's talk a little bit about your background a little bit. Tell us about yourself and kind of how long you've been a musician.
Well, basically all my life. My parents were cool enough to get into piano lessons at a pretty young age, and I came from a pretty musical family. Both my brother and sister were into it, so I kind of followed the path of piano, and then I got into saxophone a little bit in school, and then I sneaked my way into the drum section when I changed schools, and I ended up being a drummer and jazz drummer. And since then, it's just been kind of a lifelong learning process of learning other instruments and kind of lately getting into software and recording and the like. So pretty much my whole life.
Very good. I mean, let's talk about Packer Party now. And you could correct me, but I think the album was just been released in the past few days, few weeks. But what was the influence behind creating Packer Party and, you know, one of the songs we just listened to? Why an entire album devoted to Packer fandom?
Well, I mean, obviously, you and your listeners are in touch with the reason why we did it. It is such a powerful force. It's a force that has so much history and legacy, and you know it's built on loyalty and you know, ferocity, and I don't know. There are just so many cool things about the Packer organization. You know, to go all the way back, you know, I mean, if you think about Lombardi's principles and, you know, I mean, there's a lot more philosophy to it than a lot of people, I think, realize. And so basically, my partner on the project, Elroy, if you will, the lead singer and harmonica on Packer Party, he came to me, I think, we met through a mutual friend in July. And I was in the process of updating my studio. I was kind of using a little older technology, but then I decided to make the switch to and really invest in newer stuff. And he had done a CD in, I think, 2005. And he had done a Toby Keith parody. He parodied the song We Love This Bar, and he rewrote the lyrics to We Love Brett Favre. That met with some very good success until, of course, Brett Favre's life course changed a bit, shall we say. So Tom took a little time off, but he decided that it was time to kind of get going again. So he needed someone who kind of was able to play the other instruments and was able to understand the technology and who had the gear and who was also a diehard Packer fan. So we got together, we started writing, we wrote 8 original songs in about 2 weeks, started working on the parodies of Red Solo Cup, which obviously is Green and Gold Cups. I think you have a clip of that, and then one of Israelites, which is an old 1968 reggae song, and we switched that one to Wisconsinites. But really, we got together immediately. I guess you could say we bonded on how much we love the Packers and you know, the whole philosophy of the thing. The songs came fast and easy, and we just wrote about what we love, and we love music, and we love the Packers, so That's how it happened.
For our listeners, make sure to stick around till the end of the show. We'll be playing the song Green and Gold Cups at the end of the show. But now, JR, we're talking to JR Hansen of Studio 77 Productions here. You're a Wisconsinite, so where were these songs created, and where were they recorded?
Well, let's see. Our first writing session, I think, took place in my mother's garage. We sat down, I sat down with the guitar, and, you know, we both had a few ideas for songs, so we just kind of started jamming around a little bit, guitar and harmonica, and kind of brought up some kind of recognizable feels and beats to songs that we wanted to kind of work with, and so that's kind of where it started. And then we moved around. My studio's pretty mobile because, you know, the new technology that I embraced is also mobile, so I can kind of go anywhere with it. But we recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and we did a lot of recording in the basement. We did a little work in the den, and that's pretty much it. It's basically a home studio recording, but God, we spent a lot of time on it.
The album has just been recently re-released. How have the CDs been selling? And I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just recently released, so you're just getting it underway right now. Clue me in.
Well, our goal was to release it at the beginning of the season. And, you know, things happened. We didn't get it out until a little bit later. And as Elroy says, there was no official release. It just kind of escaped. Basically, by the time we got, by the time the websites went up, people around town, you know, had heard about it. Friends of friends, a lot of networking just kind of came through fellow Packer fans and whatnot. So there's no official release date. I think on CD Baby, I listed October 1st, just as kind of a general date.
What are you working on now? Kind of what are you working on in the future? What can we expect from you?
Well, that's, a highly guarded secret. But there are a couple of things in the mix. I'm working with a couple of other artists right now. And as far as Elroy and the Diehards, I can't really say. But there may be a single coming out at some point that will have a definite release, and will have a little bit more visibility than the Packer Party released it. But that's just guessing.
Okay. Where can people hear the music? Where can they buy this album if they want to do so?
Well, like I said, it's recently been put up on CD Baby, which will send it to iTunes and Amazon, etc. CD Baby they distribute to a number of online distributors. But that may not be up and ready today. I'm not sure. There were a couple of issues with formatting, and they had put the wrong song titles on some songs. Anyway, Studio77Productions.com is my studio website, and that is my primary sales point. I do have clips of all the songs in addition to what you'll be playing today, so people can get an idea of the variety of styles and what all's included, because, you know, there's a little blues, a little rock, a little country, a little reggae, and like we said, those two parodies. But it's Studio 77, the number 7, productions.com. And I send them out as soon as I get the orders, so that they usually only take 2 or 3 days.
Very good. We thank you for joining us here, JR. But before you go, kind of when you leave, we'll be transitioning here to talking and previewing the Packers-Lions game this weekend. I want to get your prediction for the game and how you think things will shake out.
Well, you know, I heard it early yesterday morning, something about a guy named Grant.
Yes.
Did you hear anything about that?
Ryan Grant, the running back with the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, that's just strange timing, you know. I wonder if McCarthy had that in the cards, and that's one of the reasons why he always kind of has a secretive look on his face. My prediction is Packers, man, 100%. I mean, what do you think? I mean, you know, Detroit is Detroit, and, you know, last week's game was, I mean, you know, we had some struggles, but, you know, we did come out on top, but absolutely Packers. I mean, if you want me to put a number on it, I'll give Detroit a couple of field goals, maybe.
Perfect. Well, that's music to Packers fans' ears. JR, thank you a whole lot for joining us here this morning at Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Appreciate it. Best of luck with your projects here with Packer Party, and we'll be listening.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brian. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Once again, JR Hansen of Studio 77 Productions joining us this morning. Producer of the album Packer Party by Elroy and the Diehards. Keep listening. At the end of the show, we're going to be playing the song Green and Gold Cups, a parody of a song you might recognize, Red Solo Cup, but Packer theme. So we're going to be playing that later in the show, so make sure to stick around, stay tuned, and thanks to JR for joining us, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. Let's get down to the Packers talk here. We are previewing a Packers game this upcoming weekend against the Detroit Lions. Lots to talk about, lots to get to here on the show today. Whole bunch of different news happening with the Packers over the past, you know, week, over the past 24 hours. Everybody wants to talk about the injury situation. You know, on our last episode on Wednesday, we broke down the running back situation a whole lot. Probably not going to talk about that so much today. But, yeah, I've said it before. I think the Packers are going to kind of wean Ryan Grant back into action here this week. He'll play, no doubt about it, but I wouldn't say he's going to play a whole lot. The Packers are going to rely on Alex Green quite a bit, I think, you know, pretty much for the whole rest of the season, although I do think Ryan Grant's role could get a little bit bigger and bigger, you know, the rest of the season as it goes along. With every passing week, it's a little bit bigger role, and, you know, by the time of the playoffs, he could certainly be sharing with Alex Green, but I mean, that's a long ways away. It's kind of going to depend probably how things, you know, play out. All of a sudden, if Alex Green really takes off, he could be, you know, carrying the load. But, you know, by the same token, if Ryan Grant looks really good in a Packers uniform, who knows? Who knows what could happen as time goes on here? So, you know, the injury situation for the Packers is really interesting here. Don't really know what, you know, it's to think of here. The word is that, and you know, there's a couple places that have been mentioning this, you know, if you follow Packers news coverage, I know they have an article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, elsewhere, I think, as well. But Charles Woodson has practiced this week, and he actually practiced in pads yesterday on Thursday. The Packers don't, of course, they don't practice in pads very often, which kind of makes you think, which kind of gives you hope that maybe Charles Woodson will be ready to play this Sunday against the Detroit Lions. But the more you look into it, the more you read into it, because the Packers just practice so infrequently in pads by NFL rule, it's kind of a situation where the Packers just wanted to get Woodson some experience in pads once again before they finally, you know, bring him back for action for good and get ready to bang around. So the anticipated start date is probably still what we're looking at, the Bears game 2 weeks from now, and certainly that's a big game itself. You know, that could be the battle for that will determine the NFC North champion. Kind of targeting that. You know, he hasn't been ruled out this week, so I mean, we're going to be waiting the injury report midday here. in terms of seeing what Charles Woodson's status is. You know, the one guy who's looking good, who might be back this week, in fact, is Sam Shields, cornerback Sam Shields. So Packers getting some help in the secondary. And you know, when you're facing Kelvin Johnson and the Lions passing attack, one of the better parts of their you know, phases of the game there in Detroit, that can certainly help. But Clay Matthews, you know, not looking like he's going to go. He didn't practice yesterday, so, you know, he's probably even behind Charles Woodson a little bit. But, you know, I forced to guess, I think Clay Matthews will be back next week for the Bears game as well. Again, that's just a hunch. I don't think he's going to be back this week. Mike McCarthy basically said with all the injured players, he's going to give them all a chance to be ready by Sunday night. So, you know, here it is Friday. There's still well more than 48 hours yet to go before for the game. So, you know, there's time to rest, recover, recuperate yet, and a chance these guys play. But I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of doubtful and questionable status updates on these players. You know, Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews. Kind of interesting with the defensive line, too, the injury situation there. Packers getting a little thin on the defensive line. Both C.J. Wilson, who was injured 2 weeks ago, what game was that? I believe that was the Giants game, wasn't it? You know, he missed last week against the Vikings. He hasn't practiced this week. He's still looking unlikely that he'll play. In addition, now, very interesting, you know, just kind of cropping up this week, Mike Neal injured his shoulder. Same problem he's had in the past with the rotator cuff. All of a sudden this week, just kind of, you didn't get any inclination that anything happened to him in the Vikings game. But this week, Mike McCarthy says, you know, saying to the effect, it's not looking good for Mike Neal. And when Coach McCarthy says something like that, you're not too encouraged. So the Packers have six defensive linemen in the roster. It's looking like two are going to be, you know, missing this game. Nothing's for certain yet, but I mean, that's the way we're trending. And so the Packers could be going into Sunday's game with only four defensive linemen. And you know what? I mean, if there's one team they can get by with four defensive linemen, it's the Detroit Lions. Think back, you know, this is the second time the Packers have played the Detroit Lions this season. You know, played them just, you know, what was it, about a month ago? If you remember that game, the Packers played, I don't think they played their base 3-4 defense at all that game. You know, just knowing what the Lions bring, they have a pass-heavy attack with, you know, of course, Kelvin Johnson back there, but also several other good targets and quarterback Matthew Stafford throwing the ball. You know, it's a whole lot more important to play good pass defense against the Detroit Lions than it is to, you know, gear up against their run. Not that you know, don't want to take their run seriously, but certainly they're much more dangerous with the pass. So the Packers play in their sub-package defense, play a lot of nickel, play a lot of dime, where there's only one or two defensive linemen on the field at any one time. Now, it's probably going to be a situation, of course, even when they're in the nickel, where you'll be seeing B.J. Raji and Ryan Pickett, two of the bigger bodies on the defensive line, playing the early downs, first and second down, and then, you know, coming off the field and giving way to Jarrell Worthy and Mike Daniels on the passing downs, guys who are, you know, a little bit smaller, a little bit quicker, maybe better pass rushers. And so, you know, if there's one game where they can get away with four defensive linemen, this is it. Now, how long can they do that? Kind of remains to be seen. You know, I think they're going to try to get away with it this week because they don't want to have to make a roster transaction on the defensive line. If they can just get by this week by playing, you know, a lot of nickel and dime, you know, maybe in another week, you know, C.J. Wilson will be ready for the Bears game. And who knows? We don't really know about Mike Neal. It's not looking good, but who knows? Maybe wait a couple weeks and he'll be okay as well. So we'll see. We'll see. But, okay, we're not done talking about roster transactions here. In terms of Mike Neal, if the Packers need to make room elsewhere on the roster, Neal could be the guy that they shut down for the season, put on injured reserve, because kind of transitioning to the other side of the ball here now on offense, you know, there's another thin position group right now, and that looks to be on the offensive line, where TJ Lang is, again, questionable for Sunday's game. He hasn't been ruled out, but TJ Lang, after getting hurt 2 weeks ago, you know, or I'm sorry, just last week, you know, he hasn't practiced all week this week, so it's not looking good for TJ Lang. So, first of all, it looks like Don Barclay, a guy who's been getting a lot of press lately, of course, he came in relief of Lang last week against the Vikings, but looking like he'll make his first career start on Sunday against the Lions, and lots being made about his matchup against Cliff Avril. Avril usually lines up on the left side of the defensive line there in Detroit, and a pretty good player, veteran player, savvy player, knows what he's doing, really strong. You know, Avril isn't like this you know, Pro Bowl type of... you know, he's not like one of the most feared defensive linemen by any means in the NFL, but really he's good in my book. I mean, he's always, like I said, just a veteran savvy kind of guy, the guy who you have to respect, and a guy who's made plays in the past and made plays against the Packers, certainly a dangerous kind of guy. You know, for my money, he could be a Pro Bowler, really. So Don Barclay going to go against him a lot. But, you know, What you really have to watch out here for is the depth on the offensive line, because if TJ Lang can't go, that means the Packers would be down to six offensive linemen, you know, active on game day. And that is a scary situation. There, it is rare when any team will go with six offensive linemen active for any particular one game. I don't know how many times that's been done in the NFL. I can't recall any instance in the past of the Packers going with that few numbers. So they may have to make a transaction. And John asked on the live blog, are they bringing up Andrew Datko? And that is about the only perceivable move they could make at this point, you know, bringing up Datko. I would say you're going to see a roster transaction here, maybe today, as soon as today, but I don't know. You know, maybe they're waiting to see if TJ Lang looks like he can go. All of a sudden, if TJ Lang looks like he could play, they could probably get by without having to make a transaction. But if TJ Lang can't go, Packers going to have to do something, because you need seven offensive linemen active on your roster. It's just too risky not to do that. I mean, because... two injuries and you know, knock on wood here, we don't want an injury to happen, but if two were to happen, you need Datko. You're going to need that backup tackle. And you know, in addition to Greg Van Roten, who's already on the roster, he's kind of the top backup right now, but they're kind of looking at Van Roten as more of an interior player, a guy who can back up the guard and center positions. But Datko would back up the tackles. So we anticipate perhaps a move being done sometime between now and Sunday. Who knows when it'll happen? I can't read the Packers' minds, but you know, that could be a situation there. Datko, you remember, of course, he was the seventh round draft choice of the Packers out of Florida State. Kind of people were, you know, had some high hopes for him, I think, because he kind of looked good in the offseason, and you know, during training camp, he was kind of up and down, but you kind of, people look and say, well, there's a lot of potential there in this Datko, and he's had an injury history, but you know, he's kind of gone through the season here, and he's had a long time since he's had his last shoulder injury, I think it was, for him too. And you know, kind of healthy now, and maybe it's time for him. So, you know, interesting situation on the offensive line. We wait to see what the Packers do, both there and on the defensive line. So, you know, injuries have created all sorts of possibilities here for the Packers this week, and how they might approach things, and how things are going to happen. So, The other big news yesterday, and this impacts the entire NFL, perhaps you've seen links to it. Time Magazine, their most recent copy that I believe is out on newsstands now, has an interview with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. And they've shared portions of the interview online. So perhaps, Jamie, if you could provide a link to the story on our live blog here if anybody wants to read it. I mean, many people have probably heard about it already. Commissioner Goodell talking about the possibility of the NFL getting rid of kickoffs. And, you know, the interesting part is how they would do it. It's being floated out there that instead of, you know, after scoring a field goal or a touchdown, the team, instead of kicking off, would get the ball back and face immediately fourth down. Fourth down and 15. So what could happen is more than likely on their own 30-yard line, so backed up to their own 30-yard line. So, you know, facing fourth and 15, most teams would punt. And so pretty much, you know, 95% of the time, probably even more than that, it's just going to be a punt to the other team. You know, in a change of possession in one play. So basically replacing a kickoff with a punt. And of course, this is all done in the name of safety. They want to eliminate kickoffs and the collision that occur on kickoffs because, I mean, if you play football, you know how it goes. But I mean, you don't have to play football to see those collisions that happen out there. You know, the kickoff team is sending, you know, 10 guys down running kamikaze style to tackle one guy. But, you know, colliding with all these blockers, it's the biggest collisions in all football happen on kickoffs. And the most injuries happen on kickoffs, and the most concussions happen on kickoffs. So they're trying to figure out ways to make the game safer. Of course, you know, former NFL players suing the NFL, many of them in terms of concussions. So, I mean, the NFL trying to respond to this. And this is a unique way to maybe eliminate kickoffs, but still, you know, you're keeping special teams a part of the game in terms of probably punting. The unique thing is, too, is that, of course, you could still go for it. You could run a fake punt and have the punter run or throw the ball, or you could just line up in your normal offensive set and have your quarterback, running backs, wide receivers out there. And so that would be a way of going for an onside kick, in essence. You know, you could just go for it on fourth and 15, and it wouldn't be likely you'd convert on fourth and 15, but it wouldn't be impossible either. You know, it's probably almost the same likelihood that you'd get an onside kick as you would convert a fourth and 15. Perhaps maybe you'd have a little bit better chance. I think I'd rather take my chances with fourth and 15, as opposed to trying to get an onside kick. But anyway, interesting, unique ideas here. I don't know what to think about it. It's just that kickoffs have been such a part of the game for so long that you're kind of eliminating them from the game. And of course, that means a whole change in dynamics in the game of football. You're placing a whole lot more emphasis on punters. And not just punters, but also punt returners and the special teamers that play on the punt team, you know, like gunners and protectors and the fullback that guards them, the shield. So, you know, I shouldn't use the term shield. That's more of a term for kickoff return. But anyway. It really interesting dynamics. It's going to take some time to wrap my head around. And, you know, of course, the value of punters, I think, would go through the roof Not through the roof, but I mean, you know, you are using kickers then less often. You know, there's the you know, idea of a kickoff specialist would be totally eliminated. Not that it's used, you know, a lot right now, but every now and again, there's a couple teams that, you know, use a kickoff specialist just specifically for their big leg. And even that's kind of been, you know, kind of gone out the window a little bit when and now that kickoffs have been moved up. But anyhow, you could see the elimination of that completely. And you know, you're still going to need a kicker because you're going to still need to kick field goals. But I got to wonder, too, though, that, you know, would you get somebody, a kicker punter together now? Would that be more likely, perhaps, that could happen? A guy that could both punt and kick field goals. And you know, there is risk in that, of course, because, you know, even though punters might be playing more, you're still going to want a good kicker because when you line up on the 50 for a 50-plus yard field goal, you want to give yourself as good a chance as possible. So, I mean, it's you don't know how the game's going to change. And, you know, like I said, before I make up my mind, I want to chew on this a little bit and see what I think about it. Apparently, as the story goes, it was all thought up by Greg Schiano, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you know, the background to him, of course, is that when he was a college coach at Rutgers there, he had the player Eric LeGrand, who you've probably heard of, who was paralyzed on a kickoff return. So he has, you know, very personal things that have touched him in terms of kickoff returns and trying to keep players healthy because, you know, he had a player who was paralyzed. It's terrible. I'm sure you've heard the Eric LeGrand story before. I mean, there's been a lot of specials on ESPN about him, or, you know, features on ESPN about him. And so anyway, there was a lot in the media yesterday. You know, local beat reporters for the Packers talked to both Tim Mastay about it. And Mastay says, you know, well, if it's coming from Roger Goodell, there must be something to it, even though they haven't made any decisions on that yet. And then Sean Slocum just talked about how it could really change the game. The Packers special teams coordinator there, Sean Slocum. So interesting to think about. But, you know, as far as we're concerned here at Packer fans, the Packers going to take on the Detroit Lions on Sunday here. And I said it on my interview with K107. I predict a Packers 24-21 victory, as long as the injured players are out for the Packers, in particular, Clay Matthews, I could see the Packers winning ugly a lot of games, and this could be one of them. It wouldn't surprise me at all if it's a lot like last week's Vikings game. You know, with the Packers at home, you know, in terms of a team they should beat, you know, maybe they should beat these teams by more, but as long as, you know, Clay Matthews is out, Charles Woodson is out, C.J. Wilson is out, T.J. Lang is out, et cetera, you know, I think the Packers are going to win ugly. I think 24-21, but I think the Packers can win and will win. There's too much at stake here for them to lose. I think they desperately want this win to set up the big showdown next week against the Bears, and that'll be a big, big game next week. So I think the Packers win. It might not be pretty. And hey, I wanted to say, too, I'm going to be meeting DJ Protege here on the live blog, who always joins us here at Railbird Central. I'm headed to the game on Sunday, so I believe I just caught some people talking on the live blog about the game this weekend. So I'm excited to do that. And anybody else who's coming to the game, feel free, contact me somehow. We'll have a beer maybe, perhaps. I know I'm going to be hanging out. I don't know where I'm hanging out before the game. I'll be here and there and everywhere, wandering around Lambeau Field. I'm going to be with some family, of course, as well. But have a good weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you later. Everybody hoping for a Packers victory. And oh, by the way, here we got the the broadcast here of Green and Gold Cups by Elroy and the Diehards as we outro the show here. So listen to that. Thanks to J.R. Hansen of Studio 77 Productions for joining us on the show today. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to Jamie Jorz and John Rahor, our live blog directors. So we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. Have a good weekend. And here it is, Green and Gold Cups by Elroy and the Diehards. See you, everyone.
Now you can fill those cups up with beer or wine. Whiskey, soda, or coffee's fine. We get in the mood when it's Packer time, because tailgate parties rock. Green and Gold Cups, I fill you up. Let's have a party, a Packer party. I love you, Green and Gold Cups. I lift you up, proceed to party. A Packer party.